Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today our text is Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. This is the interpretation of the parable of the sower. Let's read. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Now this is the interpretation of the parable of the sower. And today what we're going to do is we're going to examine the response of some of the people to whom Jesus preached the word of God to see illustrations of this parable so we get a better understanding of exactly what's going on. Now, there are four kinds of soil representing four kinds of heart. There is seed by the wayside, and that, of course, is a very hard heart. One that doesn't understand the word of God, and before anything can happen, the wicked one comes and catches away that which was sown in his heart. Then there's seed into stony places. So there's a little bit of earth, but it's very shallow, and so this will spring up and endure for a little while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, well, then it's over. He's offended. There's no fruit. Then there is that is sown among thorns. Now there's plenty of soil there, and so it's going to come up, but so do the thorns, and the thorns will choke that word. The thorns of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches will choke that word, and he could have borne fruit, but he becomes unfruitful. So maybe even you see the appearance of the fruit beginning, but before it can be fruitful and bear the fruit, that's choked out. And then there's seed into the good ground, and that good ground is a good heart. And it receives the seed, and he understands the word, and then he bears fruit, and some will bring forth a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So I want to look at examples of this today so we get a real good understanding, a real good idea about what's going on in the parable of the sower. All right. Seed by the wayside. Seed sowed by the wayside never springs up. And the reason it never springs up is it's not understood by the hearers. And what happens is the devil catches away that which those who are in the wayside hear. And a good example of seed sown by the wayside will be the Pharisees. They're an excellent example. Let's look at some passages of Scripture so we can see. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. And in these passages, we're going to just look at the immediate context of what's gone wrong. We won't try to read too much beyond that, or we'll run out of time to examine enough cases to see the illustrations. Matthew chapter 12, and look with me in verse 22. And here Jesus Christ, of course, has been preaching, and then he heals a man that was possessed with a devil. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, and blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. That is a remarkable miracle. This guy can't see, and this guy can't speak because of the devil that is in him. When he's healed, now he speaks and now he sees. Verse 23, all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Now, when they ask that question, it's important for us to understand that by professing he is the son of David, they are saying, in effect, he is the Messiah. He is the one we are looking for. Well, the Pharisees don't believe that. They don't like Jesus Christ. So in verse 24, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. That's a strange thing. It's strange because they heard the truth. He is the son of David. They saw the miracle. The blind and dumb both spake and saw. Amazing. And yet, rather than glorify God, rather than believe the preaching, rather than believe the testimony of the people that saw it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. The wild thing is, the devil is the one that has come and stolen or taken what was in their heart before they could understand it, and now they are saying Jesus is the devil. This is a phenomenal twist, but that's seed sown by the wayside. That's what it looks like. Look at John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus, this is a fabulous passage of Scripture. It's too bad that we can't read the whole chapter. But Jesus Christ is speaking in John chapter 8, and he is saying things like verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How often have you heard that repeated? Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But these guys, these Pharisees to whom he is preaching, they're not getting it. They say, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus says, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. That's verse 37. Now look at John chapter 8 at verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? That's Jesus. Why don't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Why? Verse 44. You are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know what he's telling the Pharisees right here? You can't get it because you are of your father the devil. You're following the wrong God. Here they said to Jesus, you are Beelzebub. And here they're saying, we don't get it. And they don't get it because they're following the devil. You see, that's seed by the wayside. The devil comes and takes it before they ever have an opportunity to understand it in their heart. Matthew chapter 22, verse 41 through 46 is another great example of the Pharisees as seed sown by the wayside. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. And he saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither dost any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Now, Jesus quoted Psalm 110, verse 1. That's their scripture, where David calls the Messiah Lord. And he so simply asked them, how, if he's the son of David, doth David call him Lord? Well, the answer, of course, is that he is the offspring of David by Mary, and he is the offspring of God the Father by the divine conception of the Holy Spirit. But they didn't get that. You and I understand that. But the reason they didn't understand that is they are the wayside. And the sowing of the seed in the wayside is not understood by the hearers. You may spend some time on the internet in these chat rooms and these forums arguing with people, trying to get them to come around to the truth of the Word of God. May I tell you something? If you are dealing with the wayside, if you are dealing with people like these Pharisees, their hearts are so hard, they are never going to get the Word. Not like that. Because the devil is catching it away when they hear it before they ever have an understanding of what you're saying or what the Word of God says. That's how hard their hearts are. Go back to Matthew chapter 13, and the second soil is seed into stony places. Verse 20, Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So seed sown into stony places springs up, but it can't survive the heat because it has no root. The heat of tribulation and the heat of persecution causes this seed to wither and die. And the key word is he's offended. Turn to John chapter 6 and show you a good example of this. John chapter 6 and look at verse 60 through 66. This is where Jesus Christ is speaking about, you know, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood to have eternal life in you. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew it himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? There it is. There's that word. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Indicating then, if he goes up where he was before, you won't be able to eat his flesh and you won't be able to drink his blood. Unless, of course, you go to the Catholic Church where they make you believe that the priest has the power to actually change the bread into the flesh of Jesus Christ and the wine into the blood of Jesus Christ, which he can't do, but many believe that he can do. So the Lord says, what are you going to do if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And he answers that in verse 63. He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, you receive eternal life by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells you that in verse 47. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He says in verse 35 of the same chapter, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In other words, it is not the literal eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. That would be cannibalistic religion. But rather believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that gives a person everlasting life. If you'll remember back to John chapter 4, the woman at the well never drank the living water. She simply believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. And so these disciples are offended because they don't understand how they are going to eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood. And Jesus gives them the answer in verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But keep reading. John chapter 6, look at verses 64 through 66. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Perfect example of seed sown into stony places. Another great example of seed sown into stony places is in Matthew chapter 21, verses 8 through 11. There the multitude is praising Jesus Christ when he is coming into Jerusalem, riding on that ass. And they say, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when people ask who it is, the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And so they're loving the fact that their Messiah has come. Well, 6 days later, they are gathered together when Jesus is on trial with Pilate. And you know what happens? The Pharisees show up. And the chief priests and elders show up. And they persuade, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 20, they persuade the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So when Pilate asks, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they, the same ones, many of the same ones who were crying out, Hosanna in the highest, and blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, and calling him the Son of David, knowing that he's the Messiah, you know what they all say? Let him be crucified. And Pilate says, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And Pilate finally relented because there was a tumult made. This is like a riot. Stony places. And then there's seed among thorns. That's back there in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, the seed that is sown among thorns, you know, what happens is it springs up. It's going to make fruit, but it can't bring forth fruit to perfection. Because what happens is the word gets choked out by the thorns of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. I'll show you an excellent example in Matthew chapter 19. Here's a young man that grew up with the Word of God. And he comes to Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, and he says, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? In other words, he knew the words of God, and he'd been following those commandments. But there are other commandments besides the ones that Jesus named, like thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and thou shalt not covet. And this man had problem with those commandments. So Jesus said in verse 21, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. He left. For he had great possessions. That's when Jesus said that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. What happened? That word got choked. What choked it? The deceitfulness of riches. And that man, unless something happened after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, is in hell today. I'll tell you another example is Judas Iscariot. He heard all the preaching. And a good example is that after supper, when Mary came and anointed Jesus for his burial with that ointment from that alabaster box, Judas said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he had the bag and he was a thief. That money got him and it ruined him. And then back in Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, we have seed sown into the good ground. And seed sown into the good ground is seed that is sown into an honest and good heart, according to Luke chapter 8, verse 15. And that seed, when it gets out into an honest and good heart, is going to bear fruit. Why? Because he hears it and he understands it. In Matthew chapter 13, for example, in verse 10, the disciples asked Jesus Christ why he was speaking unto them in parables. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have the more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In other words, the disciples were willing to believe what Jesus said. We know that they had difficulty initially with their faith, but he said, you guys are getting this, and I'm gonna let you know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And he taught them, and we see what he taught them. So Peter is one of those disciples, and we know that he struggled initially with his faith. Obviously, you know, when he fell in the water and rebuked Jesus Christ for saying that he was going to die by crucifixion and rise from the dead, we understand that. But listen, he stayed with it. And in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches. That old word has really done a work in his heart. And when he preaches, he says to the Jews that are gathered there, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You talk about fruit. You talk about fruit. There's a man that believed those words, and those words got down into his heart, and he began to preach those words, and God used that thing, and folks got saved. Another perfect example is the woman at the well. Jesus Christ is speaking to her in John chapter 4 until he reveals to her that he is the Messiah. She said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And in John chapter 4, verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And you know what she did? Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Do you see what happened? This woman believed what Jesus Christ was saying, believed that he was the Messiah, and went and told the men in the city, come see the man. And they believed on him, and he stayed there for a couple of days. We're talking about tremendous fruit. This is seed sown into good ground. So I want to ask you a question. Which kind of hearer are you? Has the Word of God not taken root in your heart yet? I mean, is your heart hard so that every time you hear anything like what you're hearing now, you reject it, and the devil confuses you so that you don't understand the words of God? Listen, there's nothing wrong with Jesus Christ, and there's nothing wrong with the Word of God, and there's nothing wrong with the preaching. The problem is with you. The problem is your heart is like the heart of the Pharisees. You refuse to believe the revealed truth of the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ. And you'll never get saved with a heart that's hard like that. What has to change is your heart. You've got to break that up. You've got to be willing to believe what Jesus Christ said, and then that seed can take root. Or Is your heart like the shallow Christian? Are you a shallow Christian who has been easily offended and now you're out? In other words, there was a day when you were excited about the words of God and you receive the Word of God with joy, but you got a little tribulation, you got a little persecution, you got a little offended, and now you have just, you're done. You say, I don't want any more to do with this. Is that your problem? Is that who you are? Well, then you need to get over your offense. Jesus Christ had to confront John the Baptist, who had gotten offended because he wound up in jail. And the Lord said, blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. You've got to get over that. This world does not like Jesus Christ. This world does not want Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, Jesus Christ is coming back to rule this world, and you're going to want to be on his side. So listen, soften up your heart and get over that offense. How about this? Have the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word in you? Is that your problem? Were you doing well there for a while, and then all of a sudden you got successful in business and you made a few pretty highfalutin friends, and you got kind of really concerned about all these worldly movements to take, you know, feed poor and whatever like that, and you walked away from the Word of God, and now the Word of God is not bearing fruit in your life? Then let me tell you something. You've been deceived by those riches and by those cares. You can't solve these problems with money. You need to tenderize your heart and get those weeds out of your life. You know, Jesus had to tell that one guy, you need to cut down on your riches, man. Even Zacchaeus said, I'm going to get rid of half of mine because it's just getting in the way. It's obscuring faith. And I'm not telling you that's what you need to do, but if that's what you need to do to get your heart right with God, it's better off than being choked out. Or maybe you're that fruitful Christian in whom the Word of God bears fruit and you're honest and good heart, then may I tell you something? Protect that heart. It is wonderful to have an honest and good heart, but I'll tell you what, you have an adversary and you have people that would love to enter in and confuse you with bad doctrine. Don't let that happen. You're fruitful now, you stay fruitful. Your heart is honest and good now, you keep it that way. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And let that Word of God continue to bear precious, precious fruit in your life. And may God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.